What is dramaturgy? Why do we still have dramaturgs in post-traumatic performances? I sit on this chair. I don't sit on the floor or on a sofa. These are the first dramaturgical decisions connected with this lecture. This chair is placed on a dance floor in a theater, in a black box that locates my words in the space which is reflected by them. Quite self-referential undertaking. The only position from which I can speak here is the one of not knowing. Neither have I worked with dramaturgs extensively nor as one. I certainly cannot speak here as the one who knows. But maybe this can be an interesting position of talking. The state of not knowing is not exceptional in contemporary performances. Not knowing where something will have led and what consequences it will have had that something was given a try and something was not. Not knowing which kind of practice could take place in the emptiness of a room and to which products this practice will have led is an intrinsic moment of any process that aims to be a performance. Working on performances is an essentially collaborative practice, always out of control, but highly influenced by its context and by the conditions of its existence. Working on performances means working with people and things, sometimes even animals, and it means accepting the position of not knowing as a crucial starting point for working. Also, if somebody works on a solo, alone, in a rehearsal room, working on performances is always a collaboration. And if it's just with the organizer of the place where the performance will be shown in the end, or if it's just with the person that taught to this person a special movement technique 10 years ago that this person decides to deploy in that performance, or if it's just with H&M where the person bought the clothes that he or she is wearing during the performance. Dramaturgy is structuring time. It's the timing of unfolding movements. As the meaning of movements, actions, words, etc. can fundamentally change by their duration and placement in the timeline of a performance, dramaturgy deals with the spatio-temporal evolvement of material and with the temporality of events in space. Let's imagine that I would have said this sentence in the beginning of my talk, instead of now after 5 minutes. And let's imagine that I would have said specific words so slow that they would have not been understandable in their semantics anymore. The word would have become a sound. You wouldn't have heard the same text, even if the body text wouldn't have changed. Structuring time. In our good old theater books, we can read about the right composition of a piece. Nothing can be more destructive for a performance than these kinds of golden rules that suggest reliability. In contemporary performances, that linear dramaturgies that direct an event towards a certain climax and thereby categorize performance time into more and less important segments are ever more superseded by associative forms of dramaturgy that make a distinction in more or less important segments of performance time impossible. These works are not characterized by a succession of events that lead to a certain conclusion, but by a lack of causal chains and narration. They rather expose gaps, breaks, contradictions, frictions, and holes in the empire of common knowledge and marketable behavior. And they can only do so by resisting an all too obvious readability and by practicing new ways of collaboration. They oppose the speed of the global economic logic of fast profit and trend of simplification for the sake of marketing or advertising, permanently exploited by this marketing and promotion ideology. The body nowadays appears in the media as a material to be sculpted or as a status symbol for fitness. Contemporary dramaturgies, therefore, shift the focus on the vulnerability and fragility of bodies. Interesting dramaturgical practices are not concerned with grasping a performance profoundly by semiotic analysis, but with inventing methods of staging that produce ambiguous meaning in which the paradoxical dimension of contemporary reality can reverberate. Dealing with strategies of representation, performance making has a lot to do with condensation and selection, and with the question up to what extent the preceding process and the conditions of work, as well as the context of the performance, can become visible in the performance representation. In the 19th and 20th century, dramaturgs tried to carve out the meaning of a text and transfer this meaning into the current socio-political context. By doing so, they tried to erase the process of rehearsing from the final representation of the piece. At stake was enactment of a certain textual corpus, a drama. Nowadays, dramaturgy is busy with translating conceptual concerns to perceptible events and vice versa. But they don't necessarily refer to a dramatic text. And they try to go beyond metaphorical presentation and realism. The fact that performances nowadays are often hybrid forms of dance, performance, film, exhibition, asks for new strategies of staging, for new practices of connecting and relating. Dramaturgical concepts in the 21st century cannot merely be concerned with the organization of dialogues and movements in time and space, but have to deal with the elaboration and collocation of sounds, words, discourses, projections, pictures, spaces, objects, films, media technology, and so on. And rather than about manipulating the gazes of an audience to favor directions in order to elucidate a certain meaning, it's about potentially enabling the spectators to take decisions in the process of observation. Contemporary performances are mostly not based on any given skeleton. They start from the void, from the moment of not knowing. Contemporary choreographers, directors, dramaturgs, and performers create fragile events that interrupt the apparent texture of reality. Instead of communicating knowledge or a certain interpretation of a text, instead of showing off skills or representing an established movement technique, it's much more about creating a space for experiencing relations and practicing resistance, and for testing new ways of communication. And this significant shift also applies for the work of the dramaturg. The dramaturg no longer embodies the role of a kind of theoretical mastermind who watches the performance from afar in order to give some feedback about the developed material by making use of a knowledge that he or she first of all accumulated by reading books. The dramaturg is also not there in order to solve some problems in retrospect, like a plumber, how Peter Stamer is joking. The dramaturg acts in the very inside of a group of collaborating people, thereby enhances the working process and influences the way of working together, the way of collaborating. The dramaturgy of this lecture could be also very different. I could have decided not to talk here in front of you, but to record these thoughts on a tape and to play them via a tape recorder now, while sitting behind it and looking at you. Instead of this long meandering introduction, I could have started directly like that. Dramaturgy is concerned with developing methods in order to activate spectators and raise awareness of their function as co-producers of the performance event. Each collaboration is based on a setup of rules and on an attribution of roles that don't exist as such, but that are subject to negotiation. And if I talk about collaborations, I don't mean groups in which a certain fixed hierarchy predetermines who is able and allowed to take which decisions in the group. And I also don't mean groups in which everybody is free to do what he or she wants. Innovative performances were often developed by groups that applied methods of collaboration which allowed a circulation of roles within a group, what requires a quite precise dramaturgy of collaboration. The role in one project doesn't necessarily equate the one in another project. Being a dramaturg doesn't necessarily mean being a dramaturg in all collaborative contexts, and it's not in any contradiction to being a choreographer, performer, or else in another project or another phase of the collaboration. In the end, also collaborating is a quite ambivalent undertaking. It's not just about happily being together, tolerating the opinions of the others, finding ways how everybody can realize him or herself. That would be a characteristic of today's capitalism, which is promising situations of happily being together. How can artists challenge conventional ways of communication and thereby enable unspectacular ways of collaboration? The ideals of people who were working and living in collectives in the 60s and 70s are by now embodied by the capitalist system, and the request to collaborate is in the end exactly what is expected from employees in new economy. Collaborating is the most conventional thing to do, one of the main characteristics of post-Fordism, working without producing a final product. This dynamic leads to the question if artistic collaborations will still produce something, or if the products will be superseded by an exposition of collaborative practices. Florian Schneider is describing artistic collaborations as black holes of our knowledge regimes, whose strength is precisely in their vacuity. All the diverse collaborative practices function as test stations for possible ways of being together. They lead to an enlargement of the imaginable ways of connecting. And if an eventual circulation of roles is allowed within a group, fragile, provocative, unconventional, and subversive encounters can take place that can be able to challenge institutionalized ways of production and communication.